Let's get to a little bit of action in the world of cycling across the weekend. The Tour de France is underway at the moment. Phil Rockner is covering the Tour for us on the Breakfast Club. He's back again. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How are you?
Going very well, thank you. How much sleep did you get on the weekend watching Le Tour?
Bits and pieces. You know, the odd nap on the couch during this latter part of the stages sometimes, but certainly everyone's covering this thing remote at the moment, and we're getting life in a moving hub or a moving bubble at the moment, and it's all having a rest tonight, but certainly the weekend showed a point that we really have to keep paying attention when you're on the bike because things can blow up quickly.
Yeah, that's right. A rest night tonight, so we'll talk about that and who that might benefit a little bit later on, Phil. But speaking of sleep, is Richie Porte going to be getting any? Because didn't he have a baby on the weekend?
Yeah, and it's not. It's remote.
A remote baby?
In terms of the, I think it's the travelling bubble, et cetera, doesn't account for that kind of thing. So, yeah, they gave birth to kid number two, and no doubt playing on his mind. I'm not sure he's in contention this year after what happened on the weekend, you know, losing time, et cetera. There's a lot of stress going on. And, you know, whether the race is going to start due to COVID, how it's tracking at the moment, but also the fact that, you know, when you're welcoming another child into your family, et cetera, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts in that man's world at the moment.
So he's 11 seconds off, and you reckon he's out of the game?
Oh, he lost big chunks of time over the weekend. Overall, he's in a little bit of trouble, I would have thought. 153 off the lead. The crosswinds, boys, take seven. As soon as those crosswinds hit, the race blows to pieces. If you're not in that top 30, you get dropped. And the chances of you coming back in a pro race when the bunch splinters like that are pretty minimal. So a lot of those boys on Saturday night got caught out, got caught out in the crosswinds, and the race just exploded. And there are teams who see the weather, obviously, they know what's happening and they plan for this and they jump the rest of the bunch. So he was one of the ones who got caught out. $1.53, it's a pretty big ask at this point in time to try and come back, given who's ahead of him at the moment.
Can you explain, Phil, to us exactly what that means about the crosswinds and how the field can splinter the way it does just because of the wind?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, everyone knows about riding into a headwind. Everyone just stops. You hide behind the bloke in front of you. In a crosswind, what happens, they form echelons, and you'll see them staggered across the road. They'll be sort of sitting right or left, depending on which side the wind's coming from, and it goes right across the road. After a while, there's just no road. You can't sit the right side of that person, so you form another echelon, and it might start breaking up. And so essentially what's happening is you just don't have a wheel to follow. And then once you don't have that, that's when the bunch splinters. And there are teams that know that. And they just go full gas. And they're talking about, you know, 50 k's an hour into a crosswind. As soon as you lose contact, you know, it's like you lose a wheel. Then you lose a bike link. Then you lose two bike links. And then all of a sudden you're exposed to the wind yourself. And it just becomes mission impossible because that bike length turns into, you know, 30, 40, 50 metres as it goes along. And then within a kilometre, you might be something like, you know, half a kilometre down with no way to come back up because the front echelon's moving so quickly. So it really is an art form. And you find that the Dutch teams, the Belgian teams, they tend to, because that's what how they race as juniors, they find it very, very easy to get through the wind, whereas some of the other countries find it a lot harder and their teams find it harder as well.
Phil, the other part that I found interesting over the weekend was, obviously we love having crowds there in some description, but there was a little bit of an issue with crowds not wearing masks, getting close to the riders, obviously going up those mountains, and a few of the teams have called out the spectators on that.
Yeah, it doesn't. One of the greatest parts of the Tour de France pre-COVID is watching a whole bunch of lunatics on a mountain just going crazy and, you know, seeing how they go. I mean, they all get involved and it's you know, traumatic as a rider because you've got to ride through it, but it's fun to watch as a spectator. Yeah, a lot of them without masks. The riders themselves have been calling out on social media to the spectators, you know, you guys need to put masks on. This is a hugely risky activity, guys. The rest day today, they're going to be testing everybody. Anyone, only two people in the team who test positive, that whole team gets sent home. That would mean that, you know, we lose entire team favourites, etc. There's a lot of money involved, obviously. There's TV rights. There's lots of things, again, moving around in this tour. And it only takes a couple of careless people to get to a position where the tour gets shut down. And everyone on the tour, and there's 650 people moving every single day, that gets really frightening for that group, because what they're trying to do is obviously stay within the confines and of the bubble and within the boundaries of the bubble as well. So there's a lot of pressure on everybody to do the right thing, fans included. If you're going to be on the mountain, they want you just to, you know, do the right thing with the social distancing, or if you can't do that, put a mask on, etc. And yeah, you're right, there's been a lot of concern around that.
So who benefits from the break today, Phil? Which riders or teams benefit from that?
I reckon half all the GC riders, all the big guys who are in that top group, and, you know, they need the rest because they've just come out of the Pyrenees. So Bernal, who sits second, won a year ago, he is going to benefit from that. Obviously, his team's going to benefit from that. The smaller teams as well, who don't have the big horsepower, like the Mitchells and Scott teams, like Richie Port's team, are going to benefit from that. They're going to have that rest. They don't obviously sit and do nothing. They ride for a couple of hours, get massages, get looked after. They can't do nothing, because if they shut down completely, they won't get back up again for the following stage. They're all going to need a bit of a break. The guys who probably want that the most too are the sprinting teams, because the next two stages, boys, flat. There's going to be some crosswinds coming in, they're saying, in the next couple of stages, but you would expect the sprinters teams just going to have a nice stretch out, and then tomorrow it's going to be full gas at the finish line, because their opportunities are limited this year, because the tour guys wanted to break up the stranglehold of the Ineos team, and they made a really, really aggressive course, which means the sprinters are going to spend a lot of time chewing their handlebars.
And we love when they chew the handlebars. Primoz Roglic is the tour leader at the moment, the yellow jersey. We'll see what happens after rest day today, and then stage 10 the next day after that. Phil, look forward to chatting to you through the week, mate. Have a great day.
Thanks, boys.